Good morning, women. Greetings from a beautiful, sunny autumn California. And I'm very delighted to have with me today on the line Dan Brulé, who is quite an extraordinary breathwork master. And those of you who are clever enough or lucky enough to register in time for this course have the opportunity today to not only be sharing and listening to his wisdom, but also be interacting with him, as there will be opportunities for you to ask questions later on in the call. So welcome, and a very warm welcome to you, Dan. And you're at the moment in Boston, I understand.
Yes. Hi, Shakti. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm in beautiful Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Awesome, beautiful. And, you know, I met Dan in South Africa probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I had an intuition to go for a breathwork session with him, and it was, I would say, one of the most profound encounters with myself that I've ever had, not just with myself, but a very deep cosmic experience of meeting myself through the breath. And I just so deeply appreciate Dan's skill at working with the breath, but also his capacity to work with deep intimacy, which is what gave me the inspiration to ask him to join us for this course, and he very gracefully obliged to do so. And the session is entitled Breath, Energy, Ecstasy, and the Sacred Relationship. It sounds very juicy. And what we said in the write-up is that breath is a powerful vehicle for deepening intimacy with ourselves, our bodies, and our lovers. In this special session, Dan will be sharing his vast knowledge of the breath and how to use breath to deepen the sacred quality of sexual relationship. In this supplemental course session, Dan will guide participants to explore the link between breath, energy, and ecstasy, understand how to use spiritual breathing to deepen your sacred relationship, and experience breathing meditations and exercises to connect with your ecstatic body. But Dan, that just all sounds very delicious. I feel like I want to just immediately start breathing with you. But I know that every sentence will be an experience of the ecstatic breath with you. So as I was reading, I was just aware that we were speaking about spiritual breathing, which I know is what you call the breathwork that you've developed over time. So do you want to tell us a bit about that, just give an introduction to your style of breathing?
Yeah, sure. Well, I can say that you're definitely, that first time we did a breathing session together was just a wonderful moment, a wonderful experience for me. And I should add a little caveat that the reason that you got such a profound experience is because you don't hesitate to be total. When you do anything, you pour your whole self into it. And so if anyone does that, the results are guaranteed. But most people are a little uncomfortable, a little scared to be total.
I'm blessed, Dan.
That's one of the secrets of life. No matter what we do, if we can do it truly, totally, magic, something beautiful always happens. And so if it doesn't happen with breathing, then it ain't going to happen with anything else. If the totality is missing, and if the totality is there, something as simple as breathing can take us all the way to God. So that's my, for me, that's like the highest use of breath work, is to use the breath as a bridge, as a force, to connect with our spirit, to become all that we are, to realize who we are, and to express that, and to not just know it intellectually, but have a cellular experience of it. And so that's, for me, that's the power of the breath, really gives us a way to bring everything together into an unarguable, unforgettable experience of who we really are. And so that's, and when it happens, there's no going back, you know? And maybe that's why some people avoid breath work, because unconsciously, intuitively, they know once they start moving forward, there's no going back, you know?
Right. And where does it take you to? What's your experience of what happens through the breathing once people really start to open to it?
Well, you know, we move through layers, and so in the beginning it seems to me that we get a real taste of what's possible, but what also comes up is all of the stuff that's in the way that we carry as baggage, that blocks us, that distracts us, that causes us to forget. We meet our self-imposed limitations. We encounter our conditioning and our programming. And so the breathing itself becomes a process. And so if you're not willing to enter into a deep process of being honest with yourself, and if you're not willing to enter into a deep process of really connecting with yourself, then you're not really going to be interested in breath work. You're going to avoid it in a certain way. So what it's led me to realize is that those people who are ready and they show up, if they're really ready, whatever they do is going to work. And if they're not ready, nothing we tell them and nothing we teach them and nothing we do is going to work, because that readiness is missing. But with that readiness, something as simple as breathing can bring everything together for us. So you're really good at making people ready, I think. You have that ability to kind of wake people up and sort of say, look, are you ready or not? And if you're ready, let's go for it. And if you're not, then go read a book or come back when you are.
You know, Dan, as you speak, I'm so aware in the work we've been doing on the course so far with the women that, you know, what you say, of course, applies the same way for sexuality, is that as soon as we start opening more to our sexual energy and our life force, then that does start to bring up all the discomfort, all the uncomfortable feelings, all the self-imposed beliefs or the ones that are inherited. And I've just been so aware on the course so far of the gift that is in itself, that we can bring through our attention and taking our attention into our bodies, we can meet those places in us that are sitting with pain or contraction or limitation, that we can meet them with awareness and actually and bring life into that space. And I know that the way that you work with the breath really facilitates that as well. Do you feel that, you know, really connecting with your breath can help people to move through the blockages and the limitations in their experience of themselves?
Oh, yeah, I think it's such a pure and perfect way. And so what I realize is that energy and consciousness are basically the same thing, maybe two sides of the same coin, energy and consciousness. And when we breathe, we are engaging in consciousness and we are playing with energy. And so when you begin to breathe, you're bringing feeling into each moment. And you're bringing energy to what's happening. You're bringing awareness to what's happening. And wow, whenever energy and consciousness come together, something is created, something is discovered, something is healed, something is awakened. And so that's one of the reasons that you and I, I believe, clicked so quickly and so totally, because we were doing the same work in our own way, coming from different traditions in a way, or with our own style and our own focus, but the underlying purpose and the eventual outcome is the same, you know, where we each found a way, and it's quite beautiful, because your way is obviously feminine. And
right.
My way, you know, the active breathing is like as masculine as you can get. And so, you know,
why
I
do
think,
you say that? Explain to me what you see as masculine about the active breathing. Just think it would be useful for people to listen to that.
Well, yeah, because consciousness is, I say it's something like feminine. Because consciousness, you're just opening yourself, you're just being aware, being totally present, and in a way it's kind of a passive or yang type approach, and breathing is a primal action. It's something that you do, and if you do it consciously and you do it with intention, it has real power. So breathing is like a powerful action. And very often, everyone, here's a very typical scenario. We know we should do something. We want to do something. But somehow bridging the gap between knowing it, having the intention, and then actually doing something, that seems to be where people get hung up. Oh, I know I should quit smoking, or I know I should do this. But then making the next step to actually taking action, that's where people kind of lose it. And so when we do conscious breathing, that's an action, and we're linking it directly to a present moment intention. It closes the gap between an intention or a desire and some action towards realizing it. So breathing closes that gap. It's quite beautiful in that way.
That is so beautiful, the way you describe it. And I know the way that you work with the breath, that I can remember in my own body and also seeing it with other people, that consciously breathing can really take us to the edge of kind of the willingness of our familiar system, right? So the, like, say for instance, my body is used to being kind of 70% alive or 60%, and then the breath, when I start to breathe consciously, then that can stretch my aliveness to the limit of what I'm used to, and then there's something in my familiar sense of self that doesn't want to go any further because, and then all sorts of reasons come up. This is dangerous, it's a bad idea, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's just that hurdle that the familiar sense of self hits up against, and then when I continue over that, then I'm in a whole new territory. And I've noticed the way that you work with that dance in a way that it really makes it feel like a love affair, like, you know, coming to that edge of where the intensity of life through the breath, in this case, becomes so much that all our conditioning wants us to shut down. But then if we bring that touch of the lover, that gentleness, of that dance, that feeling, that kind of devotion into that moment, it's kind of like we get the softness in us to be able to take that next step over the edge.
Exactly. Because we're dealing with some ancient programming in our system, survival programmings, right? So there was a time, I don't know, 150,000 years ago when we were in the Serengeti Plains, and if there was a noise in the bushes, we needed an instant automatic fear response. It could be a tiger, and even though it might be a friend and it might be a lover and it might be God, we didn't have the luxury to kind of hesitate and consider. We needed a survival reaction. And for me, that's the very thing that now is in the way of our ascension, of our growth, of our healing. It's an ancient, outdated reaction that triggers a contraction and triggers fear, and we need to retrain our system to react a different way. We need to open when we feel afraid. We need to relax when we have a sense of closing down and contracting, and we can use the breath to put that into practice, to actually do it in those moments. So when something comes up and we want to hide from it, we can change that reaction.
That is so beautiful, what you're saying there, and I get all excited, and I wonder, Dan, if you could share a bit more about how does one do that? So when you come to that moment where there's a fear, a contraction, a survival response coming up, which, you know, I don't, maybe not for you, but for most people on the planet, that happens a lot in relationships. You know, something gets touched with somebody that we're really intimate with, and then suddenly it feels like life and death. Like, my emotional survival is dependent on this happening or that happening. And then how can we use the breath to, as you say, relax and open up in that moment when everything wants to go into survival?
Yeah, because everything it's like a reflex, and it happens before we have anything to say about it, before we even notice it. It's already like a program that has clicked in, and it's now determining our experience, it's now driving our behavior, and so on, right? So in order to make use of it, we need to practice some things first, like the simple practice of awareness, of fully becoming conscious of our body, try to get a sense of our entire body as energy, every cell in our body, just practice that internal awareness so that when something arises, we're actually awake in the moment to catch it. If we don't have the habit of tuning in and feeling our bodies, then when a little change in energy occurs, we won't even notice it, and then it'll take over before we have a chance to do something about it. So there's the first step in learning, is to practice what I would call breath awareness, the practice of tuning into your inner world and just sensing and feeling what's happening, not in your head, not in the past, but right now, breath by breath, moment by moment, tracking the subtle changes in your energy. That ability puts us in a place where we can then get a handle on reactions when they come. So that practice is priceless and crucial. We've got to develop this ability to focus our awareness inward and track our inner experience honestly and be ruthlessly truthful with ourselves in that process. That's the first step. Mm. And that's meditation, right? That's practicing meditative awareness. It's what the Buddha was doing when he became enlightened. Without it, we can't go to the next step. So anything we can do to increase our internal awareness, that's going to put us in a place of power.
I think we've been doing some good groundwork already with this on the course, Dan. So I think we're all more ready. We're all more ready now than we've been. and then the breath. So then I have now. So I've cultivated this awareness of my body. I'm aware that there is a contraction happening. There's a fear coming up, and then in that moment when that happens, what do I do with my breath? Right. So assume that you're speaking to people who don't know anything about breath. Maybe there's some other breathwork masters on the call, but how do I go about opening my breath when there's such a impulse to close and hold my breath?
Right. So again, we have to back up a little bit, and we have to practice some things in preparation for being able to do something in those moments. So the one thing bring it all down to one thing, we need to practice taking sighs of relief. We need to practice taking an expansive inhale that is pulling your breath a little beyond what the normal inhale would be, adding a little stretch to the inhale, and then deliberately giving ourselves a sigh of relief. And see, that's the opening and the letting go that needs to happen in those moments when a program takes over. And so if we haven't practiced that skill, we can't move in that moment with that ability. So we practice expanding and relaxing. And you do it 1,000 times a day. Every time you see something, you take a breath and you let go. Someone says something that disturbs you, you pull in a long inhale, you give yourself a sigh of relief. You see a beautiful sunset, you expand, you pull in an inhale, you give yourself a sigh of relief. You have a sudden feeling in your body, some pain or some pleasure, cause that to trigger a breath, expand, and relax. And begin to train that reaction to your system.
I feel all blissed out just doing that a few times now. I really suggest for all of you on the call, try it. Dan, maybe if you can discuss through that again. So the first step is a deeper in-breath than what we used to, right? And then sighing it out.
Yep, you're taking an action that is related to an intention of consciousness. I want to open myself to myself. I want to open myself to life. And so you literally expand by taking an inhale. You simply pull the inhale a little longer than usual, a little deeper than usual, create a little extra stretch on the inhale, and then snap the exhale loose, give yourself a sigh of relief, and you relax and you let go. And so that breath is
snapping. Snapping means by the as soon as you finish the inhale, then you instantly let go. Is that what it means?
Yeah, you let the inhale come in. As you so beautifully say, you ride the curve of the breath between the inhale into the exhale. You let go into the exhale. And so what you're doing is you're training a certain reaction into your system with that breath. Whenever anything arises in consciousness, it triggers this automatic reaction to open and expand, relax and let go. And that gives you, that's what we need in those moments when we're locked into a habit or some program has taken over or we've locked up in fear. We need the ability in that moment to open and expand, to let go and relax. And so we train it into our system so that it's accessible in those moments. We can actually use it in those moments. But you've got to train in it in order to be able to access it at those times.
Right, because those moments are the moments when we tend to lose all awareness of what's actually going on.
Right.
And there's no time in the moment when you're going to go deeper in the breath.
Yeah, and there's no time to think. If you have to stop and think, oops, you just missed a moment. And there's no time to muster it up and do it on purpose because now time has already passed. It has to be a reaction in your system to really work in those moments. And the only way to make it a reaction in your system is to practice it and train it into your system, and then it will express by itself in those moments. As soon as the system contracts, the breath will come in and will open up the system. As soon as the system begins to come in, the breath will come and it will wash away the tension. And the breath is like this beautiful companion that will keep moving us towards the most resourceful state in those moments when we, you know, when we forget, when we need to relax. It's the last thing that we would think to do. And it's what we need to do the most in that moment.
Right. Yeah, that is so powerful. And I'm also just feeling as I'm breathing like that how much more of my of the inner space of my body I'm connecting to, and as you know, really do feel it as a as like an inner touch of the beloved, like that breath just when I breathe in and I take that full in breath, it's like that passion of being met with the full force of attraction. And then when I breathe out, it feels like this gentle caress of the finest, subtlest caress of life just coming up through the whole inside of my body and just caressing all of me. So it feels, when I breathe into as deeply as you're guiding us to do now, it feels like breath becomes such essential action just in my own body, even without being with a partner.
Yeah, it's natural ecstasy. It's ecstasy. It's just the most beautiful feeling to be totally there as the breath fills you. And there's a beautiful dance we can have in that moment where we get lost in the dance where you don't know who is leading and who is following. And there's me, there's the breath, and there's no... They come together. There's not me breathing. There's the breath happening, and I disappear into that beautiful living experience. And it's natural ecstasy. It's it's so beautiful, and it's so easy. It's like cheating. It's so simple.
But it does take everything at the same time. I mean, it does. We have to fully give ourselves to it, otherwise it won't happen.
Oh, yeah. And if we practice giving ourselves to the breath, we suddenly or gradually have an ability to give ourselves totally to many other things. It develops in us this ability. I've been working with people with pain, for example, and they say, you know, I can't let go of this pain, or I can't let go of this anger, or I can't let go of this. And I say, well, no wonder you can't let go of all of those things. You haven't learned to let go, period. Develop your ability to let go and then apply that ability to letting go of this or letting go of that. But Of course you can't let go of this or that. You haven't learned the basic energetic skill of letting go, period. And that's what we learn when we use the breath. And when we can let go of the breath completely, we can let go of many other things.
Huh. I'm just noticing that tendency, how we tend to like breathe in and then hold that breath a bit there, especially if we're thinking or we have some tension that there's some holding there. And what you're talking about is that importance of just completely letting that breath go out. And, you know, I think how often in lovemaking that happens that we don't fully release the breath. You know, we try and kind of contract into this orgasm and then we hold our breath in it and then we can't fully give ourselves into the opening and the release of it.
Yeah, because the body-mind system automatically contracts whenever we experience intensity of any kind. And it doesn't matter whether it's intense joy or intense pain, the poor body-mind system, the way it's been trained in ancient times because of that survival reaction, the body-mind system will contract even as our dream is coming true. As we're opening to our lover, our system is running an ancient program that actually blocks our ability to fully embrace or fully open to the experience. So we're really working with ancient programs, outdated reactions, and if we can blow those out, if we can clear those out of our system, it puts us in a place where if intense joy, intense love starts to pour into us, we can actually open and receive it and relax and enjoy it. And that's hard to do, even orgasms. I mean, I've been with one or two people during orgasms in my life, and you'd be surprised, well, you probably wouldn't, but it's amazing how people seem to almost, they want to climb out of their body at the very moment when they're having the greatest intense joy. There's an unconscious automatic tendency to almost literally climb out of their body. It's too beautiful to handle. And the poor system hasn't been trained to open to such ecstasy, and so it reacts. It's the same way it would react as if it was in pain. It contracts. Very interesting phenomenon.
And then instead of that, in that moment, we could really open and let our bodies open, let our breath open, and fully take in that experience.
Yeah. It's such a great opportunity, and many people miss that opportunity. They don't take advantage of that opportunity, you know? And you know, it's funny, either way you win, because if you can open to that love, God, what a reward. And if you somehow manage to overpower it, like, wow, that just proves how powerful we are. So either way, every life experience is a great lesson, you know, we can celebrate.
Beautiful. Dan, I wonder if would you be willing to breathe with us a bit, just like maybe teach the women a couple of, you have such beautiful different ways of playing with the breath, and I feel like there's a transformation that comes from just breathing with you a bit, just, and you guiding us through some rhythms of how to open the breath, what we can do with the breath to access life more fully.
Yeah, thank you. Let's start with the very basics. You start with the internal awareness and just scan through your body and see if there's some place that you can relax right now. Everyone has certain places where they hold tension in their jaw, their throat, or their shoulders, or their neck. And so you spend a few moments just looking for those places and inviting a little extra opening, a little extra softening, a little extra relaxation in those places. So you're deliberately relaxing. And you use a sigh of relief to help in that relaxation process. You literally give yourself a sigh of relief, and as you're exhaling, you relax some muscle. Let go of your jaw, let go of your shoulders, let go in some way. And the bigger the inhale is, the expansive the inhale is, the greater the release can be on the exhale. So you give yourself a big sigh of relief, and there's more room for the next inhale. You take advantage of that space, and you expand a bit more. And that can produce an even bigger release and more relaxation. And then the more relaxation, the easier it is for the breath to open and expand us. And you get into this beautiful dance of expanding more and relaxing more, opening and softening, pulling in and letting go. Just become more and more conscious of the feelings and the dynamics and the sounds, and just get into each breath very pure, very zen-like, you know, each breath moment to moment, feeling it totally, inviting extra expansion, inviting extra letting go on the sigh of relief. And when you let the breath go, you let your body go, you let muscles go, you let thoughts go, you let the past go. You let go, let go, let go. And each time, as if it's the first time. You don't want to become robotic. You don't want to become mechanical. Each breath is pure and conscious, each one as if it's the first time. You expand, you pull in extra energy, you let go, and you relax completely. And then you do it again as if it's the first time. And then you can take the process deeper. As you breathe in, take your time. Don't hurry the inhale. When you rush the inhale, it's a panic response. It's a fear response to gasp at the breath, to rush the inhale. And so you don't want to reinforce any fear or stress kind of reaction. So you slow the inhale down. You take your time on the inhale. Don't hurry. Savor each detail of the inhale. As you're pulling the breath in, you slowly pull the breath in. You feel yourself expanding and softening around the breath. Track moment to moment the sensations of expansion. No hurry. It's like sipping very expensive wine. You don't gulp down a bottle of expensive wine. You savor it. You smell it. You look at it. You taste it. You follow it when you swallow it. You enjoy it. You get all the juice out of it. So we have to track our in-breath that way. Take your time on the inhale. Make it long and slow and expansive. And send the breath to every cell of your body. Imagine distributing the breath to every cell of your body. So you're not just breathing into your lungs. You're literally breathing into every cell of your body. You're infusing every cell with light, with energy, with the life force. So you take your time. You breathe in very consciously. You spread the breath to every cell of your body. You feel your entire being expanding. And then you snap the exhale loose. It's like a bubble bursts. You let go of the exhale, and you fall into yourself. You relax into yourself. And at the same time, you expand outward. You radiate. So you let go completely. You fall into yourself. And at the same time, your borders dissolve. You expand out, and you merge with everything. So it's a beautiful meditation, filling yourself, infusing every cell with breath on the inhale. Take your time, feel every detail. Then when you reach that point of fullness, you just snap the exhale loose, you dump the exhale out, and you fall into your center. You relax. And at the same time, you allow your borders to dissolve, and you expand and you radiate like the sun. do that breath by breath, each time as if it's the first time. You can use breath sounds. Find some soothing, a pleasurable sound, a strengthening sound. I suggest people use a ooh shape on the inhale, as if you're sucking through a straw, as if you're feeding yourself. And then you use a ah shape on the exhale. Ah is the sound of letting go. So you could mix some sound with the breath to produce a soothing sound on the exhale. And be Shakespearean, be theatrical. It sends a very powerful signal. A soothing, relaxing sound tells the body that it's safe, and it can allow the body to relax in ways that you couldn't directly get it to relax. So you use sound, use breath, use visualization, use movement. You could do something with your hands or your arms to reflect the expansion. You can do something with your body to reflect the letting go and make it total. Make each breath very pure, very sacred, very total. There's no substitute for doing it. And doing it every day for some period of time and remembering to do it from time to time during the day. So when I advise people about a practice, I suggest this formula, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night, and 10 times during the day for 10 minutes. That's 40 minutes of spiritual breathing every day, but broken up into those two bookend practice periods, when you awaken and just before you go to sleep, and then so important to interrupt your day 10 times just for about 2 minutes and go into the practice and watch how that transforms your life. Because you might be on the toilet for one of those two-minute periods. You might be working at your computer for those 2 minutes. You might be cooking or driving. And so what you're doing is you're bringing in this spiritual practice into the everyday activities of your life, and it begins to make the everyday moments of your life something extraordinary. Because every moment is extraordinary. There are no ordinary moments.
I am so feeling that this moment, Dan. And, you know, I'm getting really curious as to what the women are experiencing, what they're wondering about. So if that's okay with you, I think I'm going to open the line for calls. And if anybody would like to share with Dan or would like to ask a question or share your experience of breathing with him now, just press 1 on your keypad there, or if you're on a webcast, you can type in the webcast, and I will read it. And so, Dan, are you ready to take a question here?
Yeah.
Great. So I've got Rose on the line. Hello, Rose.
Hello. Hey, Shakti, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Hi, Shakti. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, I had a couple of questions, actually. One was, when I started breathing, the first thing that came to my awareness was that my rib cage was very tight, and I didn't know whether to sort of a little bit put some effort and then almost a little bit force into trying to expand my rib cage more, or whether just to accept it when it gets to that sort of uncomfortable limit and then just let it go, so not trying to push it beyond that tightness that I'm feeling. So that was sort of my first question.
Okay, hold on a second. You were kind of breaking up, Shakti. Can you repeat that question to me? I didn't quite get it because it was breaking up.
So let's take your questions one by one. So the, Rosa's first question is, she says she feels some tightening in her rib cage as she's breathing, and she's not sure whether to push through that or whether to be gentle with it. Rose, I think let's just, I'm going to mute you for the moment because your line is quite fuzzy. So I'm going to let Dan respond to that, and then I'll give you the line back, okay?
Okay, so if I understand it, I think one general answer is that whenever we're in a situation, there is a space that is bigger than the situation. There's me, there's what I perceive, there's my challenge, and so on. And what we need to do in that moment is expand into a space that includes all of that. We use the breath to literally just open up around what we're thinking, open up around what we're feeling, open up to what's happening, what we're doing, and just create some extra space around the whole thing. So we kind of, we move into that sense of space, and then we let go and relax, and then we trust the next impulse that comes to us. We can't think our way out of box. We can't, you know, we just have to create more spaciousness and then let go, and from that spaciousness, see what comes and follow it.
Beautiful. I'm going to give Rose the line back. Rose, are you there?
Hi, Shakti. I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I actually dropped off the call halfway through the answer, but I came back and I certainly received the aspect of developing more spaciousness around it. And I think, yeah, I think I have was trying to go into my mind to find the answer to that. But So thank you. The other question I had was, one was a very simple one, and that was, should we always be breathing through our mouth, or should you breathe in through the nose?
Aha, great question. That's a technical question. You know, in the beginning, I suggest that people breathe through their mouth because it's easy to get lost in your head when you're breathing through your nose unless you really practice. Breathing through your mouth kind of puts you in your body more, and you can play with breath sounds when you breathe through your mouth. And you can't do that when you're breathing through your nose. So for those reasons and probably a few more, in the beginning I would suggest just to enhance and magnify the practice, breathe through your mouth in general.
Okay.
However, that doesn't mean that air cannot go in and out of your nose even while you're breathing out of your mouth. There's a beautiful teacher, Tathan Bhikkhu, who teaches Kum Nai, and that's exactly his practice, is to equalize the flow between the mouth and the nose. Don't choose between the two. Keep them both open. But that's a little more advanced practice, and so, but in the beginning, yeah, breathe through your mouth so you can be more expressed, more dramatic, and so on.
Thank you. Yeah, that resonates. Do I have time for one other little question?
You can, and I think I might wanna ask you a question after you've asked your question.
Okay. I have done group practice in the past, and one of the things I noticed as I got very deeply into the practice is when I exhaled, although I let go of the exhale, as it reached the bottom of the exhale, I felt myself dropping, and I hadn't felt this in a long time. It was nice to revisit this space. I felt myself drop into this place where there was this long pause. And so I didn't even need to take the next breath. It just, there was this long pause, and it just, the next breath arrived. And I thought there was something in this space in between the letting go of the exhale and the next breath arrived. And I wonder if you might speak to that a bit, because I really haven't felt that in a very long time. And I remember when I used to do a lot of meditation, and, you know, sometimes it would go very deep, and but breath again, you'd sort of almost disappear at the end of your exhale. So I wondered if you might speak about that a little bit, okay. If that's something, yeah.
Okay, there was, you're kind of breaking up, but I think I got, you're talking about the pause after the exhale?
Yeah, I've muted Rose now just because the line is bad, but she has this long pause well, she's had this experience of a really long pause after the exhale that felt like, it sounds like it was a very expanded space of awareness that she went into in that, and she wanted you to speak to that a bit.
Yeah, there is a natural anatomical, physiological pause built into the human breathing mechanism that occurs after the exhale. So normal or natural breathing is inhale, exhale, pause. Inhale, exhale, pause. And that pause gives the system a chance to kind of maintain a certain stability. There's a period of silence and stillness where it's necessary for the system to kind of ground itself, to keep touching that place. And if we are very conscious during that pause, we can squeeze a lot of juice out of that. We can really fall deeply into the silence, deeply into the stillness. Very useful. So even though you're not breathing in that moment, if you're very, very conscious and awake and very, very relaxed, you can get a lot out of that pause. So it can be very useful. However, touching that pause constantly doesn't allow transformation. In order to trigger transformation, we need to eliminate that pause. Otherwise, the system uses the pause to keep resetting itself on the same default. However, when we remove that pause and we connect the breath so it's inhale, exhale, no pauses, then we trigger a transformational process. Now we're shaking up the system and causing it to reorder itself. And then when we get through with that practice, the system will kind of settle onto a new level. And then that pause after the exhale will help the system to ground itself on that new level. And when we're ready, we can go to the next level. So that pause is very useful, very valuable, and we can use it consciously. And if we're not conscious of it, that pause can keep us locked into a status quo.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you, Dan. I'm just going to check here with Rose. Rose, did that answer your question?
It certainly did. Thank you. That was very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose. Really great question.
I was wondering if there's anything happening in your emotional life that is might be connected to that tense feeling in your diaphragm. Are you aware of anything?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. As I recently mentioned to Shakti, my sister lost a baby last week. So I know I have, and a few years ago I lost my mom, and I know I have some stored grief in my lungs. But even before that, many years ago, when I very first started meditating, I would always feel this blockage around the top of my exhale when I did yoga, when I sat. There was always this sense that my rib cage was I was stuck in it, and I wanted to get out of it. So I am aware there's definitely currently things going on in my life and emotions around grieving and loss, but I almost feel going even further back that's my area of tension tends to be my rib cage, and I've often got this feeling I kind of want to get out of it for some reason.
I wanted you to just share that if you wanted to, because I'm sure Dan will have something to have a response to that sharing of yours. Dan, is there anything you want to say to Rose, having heard a bit more about where she's at?
Well, certainly every emotional state has a corresponding breathing pattern. And very often when we are locked into our emotional reactions, we don't have that expansive awareness in order to see how we are breathing in that moment. Because the way that we're breathing in those moments either reinforces and supports the emotional reaction or it dissolves it. So to be able to kind of step outside of our experience, which is, that's the word ecstasy, to stand apart, ecstasis. And so when we can stand apart in those moments and see ourselves, you're basically moving into that spaciousness, that bigger space that's around you and what's happening and how you're reacting, and you enter that more expansive awareness state, you can make a connection between how you're breathing in that moment and that particular emotion. And there's a connection there. If you change the way you breathe, it dissolves the emotional state. If you move into a certain emotion, you automatically click into a certain breathing pattern. And once you make those connections, you've got a way of dissolving emotions or strengthening them, magnifying them.
Mm. Cool.
Before we were talking about this sense of spaciousness, and the easiest shortcut is to literally move into the awareness of the space around our heart. We're always filtering information and life through our mind, and if we can get heart-centered, literally, physically center our awareness in our heart space and look out at the world through that through that place, amazing things happen. And it's no coincidence that the lungs are wrapped around the heart. And so we can, by playing with our breath, we're playing with the space around our heart, and we can begin to get information directly through our heart, and it doesn't have to bypass our mind. And so it can come to us very directly and very purely. So just getting out of our head, getting into our heart, is like such a beautiful shortcut to solving all of our problems.
Beautiful. Yeah, and Rose, I'm also just feeling as Dan is speaking, and you know, I know because you've shared that you're impacted by this death of the little one, and that, you know, that juncture of life and death coming together. I know how really going deeply into the breath when we fully let ourselves breathe in and then fully breathe out, how it's like we're fully allowing life in, and then we're also fully allowing death in. We're allowing that full cycle of life to happen through the breath. So it feels like this might be a beautiful time for you to just bring some extra totality to your breath, to just fully, you know, to help you digest the experience of the death of your sister's baby.
Yeah, thank you. It feels very perfect for me to be on this call with you both right now. I thank you very, very much. Yeah, I feel tuned into that. I feel like it's something I'd like to embrace going forward, connecting with my breath again, which I haven't done really properly for many years. So, yeah, thank you.
Right, I'm going to move on to some questions on the webcast here. And so Krista from Louisville asks, I'm not sure I completely understand the question, but maybe you will, Dan. What does the concept of letting go mean when it comes to remapping these ancient programs? So I guess what she's referring to is we've just been looking at how our tribal context and our ancestry can influence the way that we relate to ourselves as sexual beings. So she says, what does the concept of letting go mean when it comes to remapping these ancient programs? How can one discern the difference between letting go of a program and expanding into authenticity?
Well, the authenticity is something that's natural. So for me, it feels like we're already in a river, and this river is flowing around us. And when we let go, the river takes us. So there's a force, like a force that's uplifting us, uplifting the planet. It's a force of ascension in some way. You know, the model, the analogy, the metaphor is, you know, going higher somehow. And that force is already in place. And so when we let go, there's really nothing else to do. That force, that river, takes us. And if we do anything to get there, we're really reinforcing the old pattern. It's like if I'm a neurotic, whatever I decide, it's my neuroses that's deciding. And whatever I do, it's my neuroses that's doing it. And so all we really need to do is to let go, and there's already a force in place that's going to move us upward. forward. And so letting go of our ancient ties to ancestors and, you know, carrying things that don't belong to us. And we kind of do beautiful rituals of giving that back. Okay, I took on from my grandmother a fear that she took on during the Great Depression in America in 1929. And she lived with that all of her life, and I absorbed it. So I could go through a ritual where, here, I give you back this fear. It's not mine. It belongs to you. And so I can do a ritual like that. However, that greater force that's waiting, if I just let go, the greater force will do the work for me. I don't need to create rituals. I don't need to make decisions. I just let go of what's holding me back, and life itself takes me to the next level. And so,
and you can do that through the breath. I'm assuming, Dan, when you say you can just let go, then there's also a way in which you can just through just breathing out, you know, just through breathing out and releasing the breath, we can let go of all those constraints and those old patterns that are holding us back.
Yeah, yeah. They get caught up in the letting go. So if I let go, whatever I need to let go of, it will get caught up in that let go. If I practice letting go of the breath, if I need to let go of some trauma, that trauma is going to get caught up in the flow of the breath, and the breath will release it without me even having to know about it or do anything.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Right, I'm going to go on to the next question here. Candida in London says, hi, I've experienced a very subtle warmth coming from my legs and the thighs. Is that possible? I also feel I want to yawn. So she's commenting on her experience of the breath, and I guess she's surprised that she's feeling so much in the rest of her body while she's breathing.
The feeling of warmth is such a pure expression of getting in touch with the energy. You know, the feelings of warmth, that's real energy manifesting and expressing. So you want to enjoy that feeling of warmth, celebrate it, relax into it. Such a great, great sign when we can feel that warmth. And I forgot the second part of what did you mention after that?
No, that's, she was just speaking about that. She also said that she feels sensation in her body. She said she also yawned. Right.
Yawning, yes. That's the body saying, oh, yes, yes. It's the body going, yes, this is what I need. Because yawning is the body's way of releasing toxins, taking on extra energy, stretching and softening and opening and loosening. That's the soft animal of our body saying, oh, yes, yes. So exaggerate the yawn. Just go into it. Enjoy it. Just be wild with yawning. Oh, yeah, let it happen. It's a very natural and very sharing. Both of those things, the warmth and yawning, that's proof that whoever said that, they are actually doing something. They're actually breathing.
Beautiful.
Not theory. That's a very pure, genuine sharing. Thank you, whoever that is. You just prove that you're not just thinking about the stuff, you're actually doing it. I love that.
Right, and Sakina in Cape Town says, I often experience tightness in my chest in trying to breathe deeply that I often struggle to overcome. I'm experiencing that now. And she says, I'm feeling really tired and sleepy. I'm wondering what that is about. I mean, I'm also aware that it's probably about 11 o'clock at night in South Africa where you are now. But there's more to it than that. Dan, what did you say to her?
Yeah. If we practice non-reaction, that's a real shortcut. Okay, a thought comes, let it come. Feeling comes, let it come. We don't need to do anything about that. But to help in this particular thing, there's a beautiful dance, a beautiful experience we can give ourselves when we breathe in, for example, that I could pull the breath into me, and then the breath will respond, and as much as I pull, the breath will come in. But if I pull too hard, if I try too hard, I actually create contractions in myself. which goes against the whole purpose of breathing in, and that is expansion. So what you do is you, rather than pulling the breath in, give yourself a sense of just opening yourself and watch how the breath will pour into you by itself. So I just relax and open myself, and I can feel how the breath will come in and fill those spaces that I create. And if I pull the breath in, I can feel the breath wanting to open and stretch me. So I can relax around the breath and allow the breath to open and expand me. So it's like being a good dance partner. You have a leader and you have a follower. So if I'm the leader and I pull the breath in, the breath, like a good dance partner, is going to fill whatever spaces I can create in myself. And then when the breath comes in as the leader and I'm the follower, as the breath comes in, I sense where I'm expanding, where the breath meets resistance, and I relax around that and allow the breath to expand me. So now we're into a really beautiful dance with the breath that's effortless. And at any time, you can have a rush of energy and take over. And so there's not a question of like trying too hard or getting stuck. Mm. You need to pop off and turn it more into a dance. Turn it more into a gentle give and take and have a play. Don't
I think that's a beautiful answer for you, Sakina. You know, and just Sakina is such a young warrior woman. I think that sometimes it can be good for you to know that you can just do the tango with your experience, or you know, do a soft dance with it.
Yeah, because if our intention is pure, that's enough. You know, that's enough.
Yeah, beautiful. Then Farida from Zupten, I don't know, Zutpen says, "Dear Dan and Shakti, hello. When we started breathing, I had some pain around the solar plexus, and during the breathing, that disappeared. After a while, I became aware about my thoughts, and then I could release that too. I feel very good now and light. And although the pain wants to come back, I have the feeling delighted with your breathing teaching and understand how to train this. What you say about the pause is also an answer to me. Thank you."
Hmm. Wonderful.
So it sounds like you just had a beautiful experience of opening and just getting that the sense of release that's possible in the body there.
Good, yeah, she's getting it. That's it.
Right, and then next I'm gonna get Sophia. Give Sophia the line. Sophia, you've got a question. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi,
Sophia. Hi, Shakti. Oh, hi, Shakti and Dan. I really enjoyed the exercise. I actually felt my heart was beating. Like I could just really feel my heart beating at the end of the exercise and just feeling in tune with it. And I had two questions. Usually I do find I've done different breathing practices before, and I have a lot more difficulty with the exhale, especially if it's through the nose. I like how you said we should just do it through our mouth, because through the mouth it's easier, but I always find the exhale is a lot shorter and there's more tension in it. And then the other question was, what about breathing when you're in different positions? Like I do yoga a lot, or even if I'm, like right now I was doing all the breathing lying down. But when I sit, I notice there's other tensions, and maybe the breath doesn't flow as nicely, or if I'm like in a yoga position where there's like a lot of other tensions and emotions coming up in my body, then the breath is like very tight. It's almost not there in a sense, like it's just very tight in and out. I don't know if you could speak to that a little and incorporating it in our breathing practices.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Well, a few things. Quite a few things, but they all come together. So not in any particular order, but posture certainly is a big key. you know, you can put yourself in a position that allows your breath to expand, or you can put yourself in a position that the body has to work really hard to let the breath in. So it's a good idea to practice breathing in all kinds of different postures, relaxing into different positions, and sensing and feeling the forces and dynamics that you encounter when you breathe. And then your intuition will guide you into postures that support you for what it is you're trying to deal with. The exhale is a real key, and the exhale, there are a lot of things that control the exhale, and most of them are unconscious things. You have unconscious fears or unconscious pains, and you're not conscious of them, but your body is, and your body then will interfere with the exhale. So if you have some forgotten, suppressed, unconscious psychological or emotional fear or pain, that's going to influence the body's ability to release the exhale. And so doing the work on the level of consciousness, working out the stuff, early life experiences, early traumas, conditioning and limitations you were given as a child, working on that level, the breath begins to open up by itself. And so if you're unconsciously holding on to something, even if it's just a limited idea about yourself, you know, when you were a child, you tried to do something and you couldn't do it. So you allowed a belief that says, I can't, or I'm not good enough, or it's too hard, whatever. In that moment, it might have been very true because you weren't strong enough, you weren't smart enough, you weren't whatever. And so you couldn't do it, and you absorbed a negative, a limiting thought about yourself. Now, that limiting thought is currently something that's in your unconscious, and it is interfering with the breath. So you can't let the breath go completely because there's a thought that you're holding on to. But you're not aware of that thought, and so it's a catch-22 situation. So what we do is we use very powerful breathing exercises to kind of blow through, to burn away that unconscious stuff that you might never remember or realize. You use the power of the breath itself to, it's like when you have plumbing pipes and they've gotten clogged. You just put a lot of pressure, a strong, you know, force of water, and it just cleans out the pipes. So you engage in some powerful breathing exercises that just does that work. It clears away these energetic blocks that are linked to unconscious, subconscious, suppressed, forgotten things. So you do that work. That's, and so, you know, breathing is done in the context of spiritual community, consciousness work, body work, movements. You got to bring it all in together, and magic happens.
Beautiful. Sophia, does that answer your question?
That's really useful, and I actually think, I'm not sure if Dan, well, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but it's the Ujjayi breath, where you basically are contracting.
I'm going to interrupt you because as I'm listening to you, I can feel some constriction in your throat. That voice that I'm hearing is coming through a throat that's, and it's interesting that you mentioned the Ujjayi breathing, because that's that, you're playing with exactly that chakra. So your intuition is right on. And so, you should practice some loud chanting, some get out in nature with a deep, hollow voice that comes from your belly, and clear away any squeaky or narrow voice that's coming from your throat, and just play with that area and open it up energetically, because that might be, there might be something there, you know, your voice, your expression being welcomed, your confidence in what comes out of you. You know, there's so many things that could be tangled up in that.
Mm.
So some powerful breathing, some shouting from your belly, animal primal noises that don't come from your throat, that come from your from every cell in your body, you know, and play with that. It's very juicy, it's exciting, and it's fun, and yeah, you have something in your throat. I can hear it in your voice, and play with that ujjayi breathing. Good idea. And because you're going to find out what you need when you do that ujjayi breathing, you're going to find how to close your throat, and you can also find how to open it. If you're doing ujjayi breathing, you should also be practicing yawning. Yawning, yawning, yawning. Yawning is going to open something in your throat. It's going to open something in the back of your jaw, so you trigger the yawn, and you breathe in and out while you're yawning. So the yawning will produce an opening, and then you spin the breath like a wheel while the yawn produces that opening. Combine yawning and breathing. Make yourself yawn, trigger that opening, because that opening that the yawn produces, that's exactly what closes when you do the ujjayi breath. So you want to really recognize it. And if it's unconsciously sort of closed all the time and you don't realize it, it can work against you. So you're on, your intuition's right. Play with it more.
I agree with you, Dan, and I think Sophia, some lions roaring or baboon roaring for you, huh?
Yeah. I'll work on it now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. I actually want to take a moment, Dan. I have such beautiful memories of working with you, bringing together working with deep sexuality and breath work. And I know we've used at times the Vigyam Bhaira of Tantra, which is a beautiful tantric text that works with the breath. So I wanted to just read a few verses from the Vigyam Bhaira of Tantra and for us to just take a few moments to reflect on this experience of bringing the breath to lovemaking. So does that work for you, Dan?
Oh, what a wonderful idea.
Right. Okay, so let me see here. So the Vigyam Bhaira of Tantra starts like this. It's a conversation between the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And the divine masculine in this tantric tradition is called Shiva, and the feminine is here called Devi. And so Devi asks Shiva, she says, "Oh Shiva, what is your reality? What is this wonderful universe? What constitutes seed? Who centers the universal wheel? What is this life beyond form, pervading forms? How may we enter it fully, above space and time, names and descriptions? Let my doubts be cleared." Now Shiva replies and describes 112 meditation techniques. And these are the first three. Shiva replies, "A radiant one, this experience of going into the space Devi is asking him about, may dawn between two breaths, after breath comes in or down, and just before turning up or out, the beneficence. And the second meditation, as breath turns from down to up, and again as breath curves from up to down, through both these turns, realize. And the third one, whenever the in-breath and the out-breath fuse, at that instant touch the energyless, energy-filled center. Let me just read that again. Or whenever the in-breath and the out-breath fuse, at that instant touch the energyless, energy-filled center. And then there's more of these beautiful meditations, but you can hear, women on the line, just the feeling of this rhythm, this beautiful oceanic rhythm of the in-breath and the out-breath and the curving up of the breath and the curving down of the breath as we breathe out and the curving up and the moment when that in-breath and the out-breath meet, what this text speaks about is how in that touch there's such an opening, a realization that can happen. And so in my experience and in teaching with Dan, we've seen such beautiful openings between partners in breathing together and really allowing that rhythm of the breath to fully open between them. So for instance, when I fully breathe in while my partner's fully breathing out, and then as he starts to breathe out, I start to breathe in, and then letting the bodies also move with the rhythm of the breath. And even, you know, the traditional tantric pose for that is called yab yam, where the woman will sit in the man's lap with her arms wrapped and her legs wrapped around him, and so that the torsos can really breathe together, so that we move together in that rhythm of breathing in and out and really fully letting the ecstasy release. So I wanted to just share that delirium with you and ask Dan if you would be willing to share your experience of what comes up for you when I speak about that, and what is your knowing about the way that the breath can support sacred relationship?
Well, for one thing, when we get into an experience of our breath, we get out of our brain, our mind, our ego, in a way. And we actually are beginning to take part in something that's not personal. It's not personal. It's only personal as it's passing through us for that moment. It's something universal. And so as we merge with the breath, as we relax into the breathing, and with a partner, it's like this spiral, expanding spiral takes place. And the one... we begin to merge with everything and everyone, and there's no me, there's no you, there's no thing we're doing. It all dissolves into some universal happening. And it's a great gateway to all of the promises of the ancients and the teachers and the gurus. It's you take an ordinary, beautiful human man and an ordinary, beautiful female, you know, woman. You come together with a sacred purpose. You together dissolve into an experience that's not really personal. It's really bigger than either of us. And something beautiful awakens. It just has to happen. So it's such a pure and direct way, but look at how much stuff we have to deal with to simply relax into such an experience. All the conditioning and social and the taboos and our fears and our future. Wow, it's simple, but it's not easy. Or it's easy, but it's not simple. I'm not sure which way it works. But,
right, and also, you know, what also comes to me, Dan, is that it can be very vulnerable to be so open with somebody else, so intimate and so open when we breathe as fully as that, and then we also start to feel so much, and, you know, all that aliveness then comes up, and we start to feel our partners more, and we start to feel ourselves more, and there's incredible intimacy that opens in that space of breathing together like that.
Oh, phenomenal. I am so glad you are doing the work you're doing in the world, because we're going to reach critical mass. Maybe we've already reached it. You know, maybe we've gone beyond the point, and everyone is going to get liberated here, and it's accelerating towards that. And the more of us who take it on as a responsibility and as a practice, and who share it and spread it, we're helping the evolution of everyone, you know. I think it's so important, the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Dan, and I have such appreciation and gratitude for you. Dan really has devoted his life to supporting people all across the planet, to the farthest reaches of Russia, all across the world, to just sitting with people and supporting them to find this freedom in themselves. And I know that you share with me also this passion as you're speaking now, that it's time for us to not just care about our own well-being, but to see that, you know, as we come together in awareness like that, whether that's in a group like this or whether it's in a partnership or in the awareness of the bigger community of people who are awakening, we are being the difference that's going to make a difference on the planet. And so every time each one of us takes a conscious breath or surrenders with awareness into our bodies or connects with intimacy with ourselves or with somebody else in a way of really bringing awareness in, it's like something in the world opens up. There's a new, something heals, something new becomes possible. And, you know, I do feel like the hurricane that's happening in the Philippines and all these disasters that we have in the world, there will come a time when we won't need them anymore because we will be doing the work of feeling what we need to feel and showing up in deep intimacy. And, I feel inspired by what you're saying, Dan, because it's about all of us on the planet, not just about each one of us who's here individually on our own journey.
Yeah, we're all connected. It's not just a pretty spiritual idea. It's a fact and reality. There's one human organism alive on this planet, you know, and we're all cells in that human body that... And it feels like we're individual and separate unto ourselves, but we're all cells in an organ, and we're all connected. And that's one of the reasons I love working with the breath, because very quickly in working with the breath, we have the experience that we're connected. It's not just an idea anymore. You feel that connection. You realize that connection. And so it doesn't matter who gets healed. We all get healed in the process. If the best thing I can do for everyone is to work on myself, and the best thing I can do for myself is to help as many other people as possible, because we're all connected. It's pretty simple for a simple guy, you know?
Beautiful, Dan. Thank you so much for coming to share with us your wisdom and your inspiration. And I really feel like you've opened that that gateway of the breath for people here. And I just wonder if there's anything else you'd like to say. Maybe just mention to them where they can find you if they'd like to find out more about your work.
Yeah, thank you. Well, my website is breathmastery.com. Breath mastery. Everybody has to master something. And I'll get on to walking and talking and more advanced human skills one day, but I'm still working on the basics. I really am passionate about mastering the power and the potential of breath. So you can find me at breathmastery.com. And my schedule is there. I was in 9 countries this year. I travel constantly. I have a beautiful resort retreat in Los Cabos in Mexico. People are welcome to come down there and do an intensive breathwork intensive retreat. And look at my calendar, and if you see I'm going to be somewhere in your country or neighborhood, then come and breathe.
Beautiful. Right. Thank you so much, Dan. That brings us to the end of today's call. Thank you to all of you who've participated, and encouraging you, as Dan has said, to keep breathing deeply and consciously. Let's see if we can do that 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, and 10 times a day for 2 minutes. That's correct, eh, Dan?
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Shakti. Thank you, everyone.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.